7 o'clock, Helen Burns, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Are we being recorded, Olivia?
Yep.
Okay, roll call.
Olivia Anderson.
Kim Slyke.
Helen Burns.
Pat Michael.
And Pat Johnson attending via phone.
Pat Johnson is attending by phone. Hopefully that's picking up.
Is that the speaker?
Yes.
Okay, but I can put it closer. Right,
a little closer.
Yeah.
All right. Kurt, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Helen Burns, round number 2, approve the agenda. And I'd like to amend it to add at the bottom, at the end of the meeting, to add items to be put on next month's agenda. If something comes up during the meeting that we need to talk about next month, can I get a second?
I can second that. Olivia Anderson?
Well, maybe someone else wants to first.
I'll call out
there. Okay.
Whatever, that's fine, yeah.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's see.
Pat, did you hear that?
I did. I vote aye.
Okay.
Okay. Number 3, approval of 16 April 2026 board meeting minutes. Did everybody get a chance to look at the final revision?
Chairman Al, I did. They look fine to me. The revisions, I believe, captured accurately everything that went on at the last meeting.
Okay.
Is that a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay.
Kim Slyke.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Okay, we're on to the Treasury's report, Pat.
Thank you. Doug, hopefully, we got the slide. I need to know which slide you have up.
I have the Treasury report, April 2026, the year-to-date, last month.
Statement of financials or the statement of activity?
No, the accrual basis, where it shows current assets, current bank accounts.
Statement of financial position.
Thank you. I'll refer to that first. Hopefully, board, you've had that email to you, the copy of the slide is up there. This is effectively our balance sheet showing the assets and liabilities and our equity. There has been, you'll see the sum total of the assets, $1,877,718.64. You can scroll, look a little further down, see the liabilities. The major component of that would be noted as long-term liabilities. Those are the leases for the vehicles. Subtract the difference between those two, and it gives you the equity of $1,196,770.64. That is a positive change, meaning our financial position has improved from the last month by $83,349. So, in consideration of assets, liabilities, we are in the last month through our operations up $83,349 on assets and liabilities. Any questions on that statement?
Nope. Think so.
Okay, Doug, could you bring up the next slide, please, which is the statement of activity.
All right, Doug.
Thank you. I'm flying blind here, so
that's
I
all
really
right.
appreciate
you're right on.
Appreciate the comments. Okay, this is the statement of activity, also referred to as the income statement. You'll see the numbers on the right, the revenue, and this is year to date. This is through January 1 through April 30th. You'll see the total for revenues, the totals for expenditures, giving us a net operating income $207,664. Other expenditures, other net revenue, and then the bottom line figure showing $58,924.76 as the year-to-date operating income. That is a decrease from the prior month. The decrease amount is $60,886. What that says is that during the month of April, our expenditures outpaced our revenues by $60,886. That primarily has to do with the timing of our payroll and payments for our the wildland program versus the timing on when we receive the checks. So we are we expect the trend as we move through the next months to be positive, as it's kind of a rolling effect, if you will, on expenses versus revenues, and it's taken us a little bit of time to catch up with that. There has been significant use of the payroll line of credit. I'll detail that shortly, but that's what helps even out our cash flow and making sure that we can pay our bills on time. Any questions on the statement of activity?
No, I think it looks okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. No questions.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That is the, let's see. I've got a couple other things. I've probably, a note to myself here, and this is for the board's update. I have actually yesterday received a very brief summary of the Hayden Buckner CPA audit of our 2025 activity. Now go to the state auditor for their review and approval. Following that, we should be complete on that item for 2025. The board will have access to that report from Hayden Buckner prior to the next board meeting.
Okay, very good.
Okay, and then one other detail on the financial report is all of the board members today received an email from Michael May at Affinity HR containing the detail report. That is an itemization of every transaction that happened April 1 through April 30th. That's in your inbox. You can review that as you see fit.
Okay. Yep. I printed all that out.
Okay. Okay. Unless there's any questions, that's what I have on item number four.
Okay. No, I don't think we have any questions. So,
nope.
Going on to number five, review update of payroll line of credit.
Yes. You will note on the statement of financial position, you will see that as of April 30th, the amount drawn on the payroll line of credit was $249,739.93. And the amount drawn on that is, again, illustrates the need for that line of credit to balance out our receivables and payables. As of today, and I sent this to the board earlier in an email, that amount has been reduced to $75,884.
Okay.
anticipation is that as we continue to receive payments for our deployments, that we will pay that line down with the immediate objective of getting it to zero.
Right.
You need to think of the payroll really in all of our financial activities as quite dynamic. And it can change. I mean, you can see that in the first 3 weeks of May, we've made a very significant reduction in the payroll line of credit, and that is that change.
Okay, sounds like it's working for us the way we wanted it to work for us. So.
Yeah, and did I hear that Kirk Shelley is in attendance?
He is.
He is right here.
Well, I'll ask him first.
We the board and the department owes a lot to Kirk for the work that he put in not too long ago, finding and engaging Affinity HR and helping to and arranging for the line of credit. Mm-hmm. It's been a real blessing and a useful tool to the department on all counts.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay, on number six, review and ratification of Zions Visa credit card limit increase.
Yes, thank you. That's also my item.
Right.
Board, as you remember, a month ago in April's meeting, we had a high level of concern that the $20,000 limit on the Visa card through Zions Bank was not enough to cover the monthly expenditures of our firefighters on deployment, which is the primary use for that card. And the problem was caused by hotels basically placing a credit hold on a large amount that sucked up the near entire balance that we had available, but it wasn't really charged out until they actually stayed and completed their stay at the hotel. That put the credit card status in kind of limbo, and we really couldn't pay it because there really wasn't a charge against it. That has been there's been two resolutions to that. One is a $30,000 credit increase in that limit from $20,000 to $50,000. During the initial request to increase the limit, that was denied. On a subsequent request and review, it was increased to $50,000, which was good. The second good thing about that is that we were not required to pledge any funds to secure that amount. That was based entirely on the credit worthiness of DVFR. So we had, as the board will recall, an email vote to approve that increase at the time that it happened. At this point, it's appropriate that we ratify that action by vote. So I will move, unless there are any questions.
No, we're just looking at the sheet that has the credit card numbers on there, no, it sounds like it's all good to go. So,
good. Yeah. Well, then I move that the board ratify the prior decision of increasing the Zions Bank Visa card limit from $20,000
to $50,000.
Kim Slack, second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passed. Yeah. And then to number seven. Review ratification of prior approval of RAMP card.
Yes, thank you. That's also my item. That's referred to as the RAMP card. I don't know what that actually stands for. That was arranged for primarily through the efforts of Hunter Wolf to replace the problematic WEX fuel card that we always seem to have problems with. This was done concurrently but separately from the credit increase at Zion. It's its own separate card. We were able to obtain that, again, with no compensating deposit, in an amount of $25,000. This supplements the credit limit that we have on the Visa card, and as we look forward during this fire season, we're likely to have multiple deployments, could possibly be in different locations. These two updated credit instruments should provide all the balance that we need without, so that our firefighters who are deployed can focus on their job at hand, which is putting out fires, instead of dealing with administrative credit limit issues. The vote to approve the RAMP card and the $25,000 limit was presented to the board and approved via email prior. And at this point, I would move that we ratify that decision, approving the RAMP card in the amount of $25,000.
Okay, and that RAMP card is strictly for fuel?
It is primarily used for fuel, as I understand it.
Okay.
Is Hunter in attendance?
No, he's not.
He could speak.
So the RAMP can be used for anything. We just briefly go with briefing.
Okay.
The WEX cards, we had issues with them for some reason, they weren't working at the pumps.
Okay.
So we had to get a work over with that. But it can be used for anything, but we want to use it for fuel. But when we go to Home Depot, Hunter makes us use it. And especially me.
Right. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because I have to take a picture of the receipt.
Yeah.
And it goes right to you.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a couple names on here that I guess we've got questions about. And I'm sure you can clear that up. But yeah, okay, that sounds good. I was wondering if it was strictly a fuel card, or they could use it for other items.
Okay, it is an everything card, but because we have the WEX issue, that's what we solved.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Slide on a second. Motion to ratify.
Okay. Did you make a motion for that then, Pat? Sorry.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
And Kim just seconded, so all in favor?
Aye.
I want to take a moment. Thank you, Treasurer, for getting that done. And as Fire Chief, I want to thank him for that. That's very valuable. And also, Chief Wolf did a lot of work on the RAMP card. So make sure that you're
okay. Alan Burns, number 8, member of the month.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
She got the.
Yeah,
fired up. All right, so member of the month's Chad Bolte. So this guy, let me just kind of read the small effort I have. Husband, father, grandpa, resident of Southern Utah for 15 years. Started in fire and EMS in 1990, so 26. Paramedic for over 20 years. Taught paramedics and EMS for over a decade at Dixie State University. Worked in almost every capacity in fire and EMS, wildland firefighter paramedic, fireline medic, remote paramedic, hazmat specialist, instructor, engineer, and fire officer. So he's held all positions. He's held positions up to fire chief. And so he's a really great asset. And we had a long relationship. He became available. We had a position, right? So it was like, so he's going to be really, really strong in helping us with our EMS classes, our EMS education, all that stuff. So we're really, really, really fortunate to have Chad Polson here. He brings 26 years of experience to this little team, which is a great thing.
I met him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah.
He's going on a deployment sometimes, too.
He will. He does pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Chief Cox and him are working on, because he's basically everybody has task books on that side, and they get better served. So he's got his med mod.
Medical unit leader.
Capital. So he's going to be deploying to get that finished. And once he gets that finished, he's at the highest level for a medical unit if you want.
Right.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's great.
We're very lucky to have
them. Okay, number nine.
I gotta get this up there, Chief.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
Chief.
I said that to my wife to remind her. All right, Chief Support. So, fire operations, our daily operations are going well. We've got no issues. Response times are on point. The troops are handling everything. But I want to get more to some of the other reports. And obviously, so this will always be up here for the board. If you ever walk through, this is kind of our wildland teams, right? Our units, where they're at. But before I do that, we have the park under our district.
Right.
We maintain the park. Fire Captain Jones is the district park manager now. And so when you see an elderly man, you know, right? Mowing the lawn, that's him, right? And so he basically mows the lawn, gets money in the sprinklers, right? He's a captain, but he took over the park maintenance, and I'm going to tell you what he did. And I knew it was going to happen because once he gets the lawnmower, no one else can ride. He's the lawnmower, right? So I thank him for doing that. The board has that responsibility. We are maintaining the park. Having Captain Jones there, he's already found 100 things wrong with it. So he's working on all that, right? So I just want to thank him for doing that along with his other duties. Now moving on to our deployments. Chief Hennessy, as you know, if you don't know, he took a REMS lead assignment. He deployed the REMS team to New Mexico. The REMS team is our specialty team. This REMS team are the firefighters that rescue firefighters, right? And so they what was the first 6 mile fire?
6 mile fire was first.
They first got dispatched to a fire in New Mexico. It took off, 6 mile fire. They went from that fire to the Seven Cabins fire, which is a really large fire. And unfortunately, the Seven Cabins fire started when an air medical plane crashed in the mountains, killed all the crew. So that has taken off. It's almost no containment. If you're at the day, or working 60-hour night shifts, right? So in a very uncomfortable environment, sleeping up on a mountain, right? And being prepared to rescue. So they did 5 days, I believe, on the first fire. They're working on finishing out their 14 days. We're going to forecast a little bit here, right? It looks like there's a possibility they'll get extended another 7. So we could end up with a 21-day deployment for the REMS, right? What does it mean? When we talk about what the Treasury report has said, and we talk about where we're at, what we were able to pay off with the PLOC, right? And how we still have money operations. These are the checks we've received. These two here are pending. We're going to get these within the next week and a half, right? That takes our total for our deployments, you can imagine, already, 559,226. Right? So that's what the teams have done. With the REMS team going out, we're forecasting, not the forecast, they get sent home early this one, but forecasting somewhere around 220. Right? What does that mean to the board? It means with the forecast come through, we'll be at 779,226. Right? Now, in the budget for our wildland revenue to cover our expenses, there's 1.6, is what the fire chief put in. We need to revenue out 1.6. This puts us at about 50% already, and that's great. We need that. But fire season starts in June. We're in May, right? So we've still got June, July, August, September, a lot of our units go. So when we look at our goal, budget goal of 1.6 here, right? We have a stretch goal of 2.5, right? Why do we have this stretch goal here? Well, I want to be conservative, right? When we put in the budget, get us a number we can hit. But we also want to really press the teams and get them out so we can hit 2.5. Because where, and I've said this since I got here, my goal since I got here has been one thing, and one thing only, A, safety, fire first, safety, community, but to stabilize the budget, the district budget,
right?
We need to put money in the budget, not spend it, right? Not hire people, save it. So that's where we're really going to push this year. And if we do well, and we get some money in the budget, I might be able to start January without the highest stress level that I start with, you know, a year and a half to make this. So
that's our goal, see you guys now. So keep the Rams team in your mind. They're working hard and doing well. The organization is doing well. We are, probably saw the chipper, right? $100,000 chipper. That's doing well for the community. So that's a big deal.
Tell me your vision with that, what you're telling me.
Well, we're working on, and the CSU knows it, we're working on. So we have a lot of elderly out in our community, and they're really trying to get this stuff done, and I want to thank them for that. But, you know, it's our obligation to help them. If we can, right? So we're working on, and I'm going to brush over this, but this is where I think we're going with this, is since we have our own chipper, right? These people do the work. They don't got a truck or a trailer. They can have whoever does the work pilot. We can have our crews take the chipper up to their house and chip it right there. Right? That's our goal. Just ease this brush reduction work on our community, right? And so that's where we're heading with this. So that's a big, big plus. Also, as you know, everything's expensive. We finally, the government reopened again, as you know. So we're moving forward now with our turnout grant, right, for our safety equipment. It costs about $7,000 for each firefighter to roll that. But we have about 64,000. It's about, I think, somewhere around 10 sets of turnout. So we're back getting that too. So that's coming in. That's huge because now we don't have to spend the money on that either. But yeah, so that's where we're at. And the organization's doing great. I want to thank the board for what you do. Without you, we can't do this. We all have to thank our staff. They're working harder than me, right? And so they're proud of them. But I'm going to go ahead, as the next item comes up, that's going to be the report on seasonal fire hours. So Chief Cox here, he runs the Battalion Chief Corps of Special Ops. He's basically the manager of all this now. So he's going to go ahead and give the board and the community an update on where we're at fire season-wise for the community and everywhere. So, what, Chief?
Thank you, Chief. You kind of touched on some of the things I was going to touch on as well, so it's great. The depth that we've built in just a short amount of time over our holiday program. I know last month we kind of went really into detail of what the season looks like. So what I just want to do now is kind of update you on where we've come in the last month. Washington County and BLM instituted statewide fire restrictions today. Dameron Valley's Fire Marshal Office instituted a modified version on May 11th. So we were preemptive to them, and which we are every year. So those are in effect now. Obviously, there's no open burning outside of contained fire rings. No use of any heavy equipment, any chainsaws, anything like that without a spark arrestor. And of course, no fireworks. The governor, Cox, also issued statements in the last 24 to 48 hours for the drought conditions. He has instituted a state of emergency for our drought conditions in the state of Utah. So that's one thing that we're focusing on is our lack of water and how that affects our ability to and suppress fires. Great thing about Dameron Valley is we have a very adequate water system. Our water system is up, it's functioning, we're good to go, zero issues with our water system for the water board. So we don't have those issues currently. to date, from January 1 to today, we've had 158 wildfires in the state of Utah. 126 of those were human caused. We burned over 8,000 acres just this year in the state of Utah. So if you really look at what that means to where we are now, like the chief stated, June starts our fire season. We're not even there yet. Obviously, you know, we talked about last year, the critical levels that we're getting into. Our fuels are drying, our soils are drying, everything is getting to be critical levels. So one of the things we look at is priority listing and the priority levels to the nation. Right now, Great Basin is at a 2. The nation's at a 2. So there's fires going. We've not quite got as active as we expected to be yet, but we're in a good shape for that. So any questions at all?
Can you touch on when the state becomes high risk to the entire state?
Yep, so with the predictive services that we touched on last month, as we get into May, that critical level creeps up through southern Utah, and by June 1, it is covering the entire state of Utah. We'll be at critical levels all the way across the state with our fuel moisture levels and the amount of humidity and amount of liquid that's in our fuels, such as our grass, our pinions, our sage. That's pretty much depleted. So come June 1, we are in a critical fire level statewide.
So if you were to look at what that means, how do we put it in context? It's, if you want to use a percentage, we are at a higher fire risk than 97%. What a 97%. So, but what I also want to say is, yeah, it's a tough fire season. It's right, and I know it. But I don't want our community to, you know, get fearful. Right? Just be cognizant of what we're doing. Also, if they see anything, any little smoke, anything, get on the phone. Because the thing for the fire chief and Chief Fox, all of us and our crews is, we got a 3-minute response time. Right? We need to get there early. If it builds momentum, it stops. So I just want everybody to know you're safe. You've got a full-time firefighter, a well-manned instructor, and they're highly focused on this.
I have a question. Might be kind of a dumb question, but
no such thing.
I mean, I when we get to this point, usually later in the summer, like I've got sprinklers, I kind of run my sprinklers up and down the driveway, spraying the trees a little bit, get some moisture into them. Is that doing any good, or is it just a waste of water, or, you know?
So,
I mean, like, not like every day, but like once a week or once every other week.
So if the purpose is to prevent the fire, or prevent a fire, then unfortunately that does hold some relevance to that doesn't really do you any good. Here's the reason why. Mm-hmm. In our environment, a half inch of water will evaporate in less than 5 minutes with a 5-mile-an-hour wind in our temperatures. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, with a sprinkler system, with a fire approaching,
that's it.
That is a good thing, because what you're doing is you're raising the area RH, relative humidity, so the amount of humidity and moisture that's in the air around your general area, that is good. But preemptively doing it prior to anything, you're going to water and provide your trees and landscape with water, that's about all you're going to do there.
Okay.
So it's a great question. And if anybody has sprinkler systems, in the event we have an issue or an event arise, highly suggest if you have time and you can safely do so, absolutely put that sprinkler system up, turn it on, and leave.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I was just wondering, because every year I go through this, you know, I think I'm doing something positive by watering my trees and keeping them.
I think, just for clarity, Mr. Chair, everybody thinks that's a good idea. I do too. But obviously, Chief Dodge is right. So, if there's a fire and there's a fire approaching and we're getting embers, I think that'd be the better time to use that resource.
Thank you. That's a very good answer. Thank you.
One other thing. I worked with the water company last year, you guys may not know this. And then basically they have agreed, and of course they do, to have the tanks full by midnight every day. So there's usage, they pump in. So I've told them we need those full by midnight, so that we're not running into a situation where they're half full when we get a big problem. Right?
So how many gallons is that if all the tanks are full?
Well, see, you're a doctor, and I'm not. It's a lot. I have to get the.
There's a million gallons available in Dammer Valley.
Million gallons available for Dammer Valley.
There are three wells. And correct me if I misspoke here, but there are three wells. There's a 500-gallon tank at the top of Pinion, and there's two 250,000-gallon tanks off of Bonnie Springs Road. Mm-hmm. All three wellheads are on Bonnie Springs Road, correct?
Correct.
And they, again, are pumped to and from, and the tanks do remain full probably 60% of the time. Again, what Chief said, by midnight, they are all full.
Can I add that?
Please. I'm okay to speak. We're not the public.
Just say your name.
Kurt Shelby.
So the tanks are all at exactly the same elevation, so there's no pumping back and forth, they depend on gravity. So as the tanks over here fill on Mine Springs, by gravity the tank in Pinion Hills fills as well.
For sure.
And then one of those pumps is solar driven.
Yes.
And the other two are electric on the grid, and there's a backup generator in case of a power outage. That's operating.
Thanks, Kurt.
One other question for you, and I can't remember, I've been talking to you before about this, but I know we've been talking maybe with the state about putting in a perimeter fire break around the community. Where do we stand on that with the state and getting over that?
We have made contact with Bureau of Land Management, with their guys. We've gotten a lot of progress on that. Might know a little more, but I know that we've got a lot of progress on it, and that we are working actively for that right now. So we actually have the BLM have come out, spent time here, looked at our community. They see what our community is doing. They see the firework. They see we're doing our brush reduction, right? So they're actually moving to get the funding to come out and make sure all that BLM land has a firework. It's a process.
Well,
at least
we'll
I understand.
But we're in that process.
It's moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just to, I'll just add to that real quick, Chief. If I may.
Yes.
It's called a good neighbor program, and the Chief's point is because of the remediation, that's going on here, BLM has considered it, and I believe there's a tentative commitment to do the work for 2027. It takes them a while to get the wheels rolling. The fee on all adjoining BLM land that would not include state lands or utility property.
Utility easements, yeah.
But I will say we will work. If we do our work, BLM does our work, it makes a lot easier for us to look take that to the state and say, you need to do your work. That's what it is.
Do we know about what percentage each of that is around the community idea?
I do. I imagine the fire marshal does, but all of Indian Hills backs up.
That's all
BLM. And then as you swing around to the south end of the valley, most of that is BLM. Then you come around here to get into state land. So, for example, that's where we ran into issues with the chicken pile. That's state land adjacent to the garden. So, yeah.
Okay.
But that is a huge win for us.
Yeah, we're working on it aggressively.
Sounds good.
And I'll make sure I update you guys on this one.
So they'll do the initial work. Will they then maintain that after that, or are we going to be responsible for maintaining that?
I really can't answer that, but I would expect since it's BLM land, they would have to, you know, look at that. I'm going to guess on that right now.
Sure.
But I'll have more.
I just thought maybe as you're discussing with them, not just the initial clearing, but, you know, continued maintenance of that.
Well, to your point, I'll make sure I update you guys on that to see how that goes once we start getting that work done. Of course, it's going to be a major project. But I will tell you, and this is kind of a side note, my comments have been that I'll rent a D9 dozer and just try to line up. You're not going to do it. So we've come a long way. And I really want to thank the community because you bring the government out here, the feds out here, it's hard to get them to do anything. We all know that. They see what this community done, right? So they know right now, if it's going to be our problem, we didn't do our work, and somehow this community, nobody wants that.
Can I show one more thing?
So, sorry, we're still talking about the fire season.
Okay, well, just real quick. So on that topic, the Good Neighbor Program suggestion actually came out of the researchers that were here from Utah State University. The gentleman from Idaho made that suggestion to us that we follow up. Chief Hennessy had planned to talk to BLM anyway, but he said that was actually a program called the Good Neighbor Program. So he reached out. They were receptive based on coming out here and looking around.
Yeah. Well, I went to a state meeting and with everybody, and I noticed someone getting up that I don't know from the BLM, and he said too much when he was up there about how he's in charge of all this. I went, oh, great. Zipped over to him. I said, you're the guy? Yep. So I got that number. Chief Hennessy contacted him, farmers contacted him. So we did. We were able to make contact to a person you can never make contact with and able to get him out here. And that's what they did.
Good work. Okay, appreciate your work. Thanks.
Chief.
Sure.
Chief and Chief.
There we go. Hey, good tag team.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, is that it then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions for the Chief?
Oh, I do. Olivia Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I know a few months ago you talked about needing 6 more, was it heart monitors?
Yes.
Okay. Where will those go?
Oh, the monitors?
Well, yes.
They'll replace some of the monitors we have now. Our RENS team takes monitors out, right? So they need a monitor too.
Mm-hmm.
We need a monitor on a couple units. we need a monitor for training, right? So when we look at six, that's a wish list, right? To want six. We're going to CIB for another grant, and I think we're asking for four from CIB. So we may be successful in that. And then we can use one of our old ones or whatever.
We have enough for the units that are already.
Yeah, so Rams has a monitor with them now, and we have two that we keep right here for the first round, ALS unit, and the second. We don't answer it, but we got those.
Okay. All right, any other questions?
Thanks for the questions.
Yep. Number 11, I guess, is others. If there's something we want to discuss.
Oh, yeah. This might, Olivia Anderson might involve the chief as well. But when I was in a planning commission meeting the other day, we were looking at properties, my property specifically, because we have a 300-foot easement, and not all of the properties have it. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, and I looked over here and at the fire station too, and I was like, that's weird, why is the fire station zoned residential? And they said, oh, that's fine, it's normal, it can be zoned residential. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, great, but it follows, that being said, it follows residential rules, which only allows like two outbuildings and things of that nature. So the six containers we have, we should only have two. If you want to build something, you talked about building and putting a roof on containers, you better go visit the county first.
We definitely do that. Thanks for the information.
Yeah.
All right. Any other topics you want to bring up?
Mr. Chairman, Pat here.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple follow-up items. I'll hold those till the end if the board that's present has the other items to discuss.
Okay. Yeah, we're good. If you want to do that before public comment or after public comment?
I'll do that right now.
Okay.
These came to my attention after a review of the prior month's meetings. As you know, Clerk Olivia has a little AI device and recorder on the table. That really provides comprehensive minutes that are very, very complete. It's really good to have the minutes detailed in that point. There are two items that require follow-up. One is the review of our policy and procedures manual. This is not an item for vote now, but the board does need to decide if we are serious at this time about a thorough review of the policies and procedures manual. It's been more than a year since that was done. I have some notes and corrections from Chairman Al, but if we're going to do this, it needs to be an effort with full board participation. Everybody's got to go through and do a thorough reading of that manual and come up with notes that we can put out on the table and discuss. If we're going to do that, I would suggest that we put that some board member be nominated to head that effort and that we put a deadline on it. I'd suggest about 3 months for review and discussion. If there's interest in that, we should proceed with it. If there's not interest in commitment, then that item should be deleted for this time.
Okay. Okay.
I think we should, especially for those of us that are new on the board. There's three of us, right?
Right.
And we need to get up to speed with everything that's going on. And that would be a great idea. So I make a motion to put that on.
Well, Pat, Alan Burns, what I did was I got a folder with our policies and procedures manual, and it also has the state of Utah little manual included in the same binder, and that seemed to help me get through it. So this is just an idea for.
Yeah, we went through all of this, went through a little bit, and we had to do that.
Right, but like an annual
testing. But I think for our individual specifically.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
What do you think there, Jim?
I think it'd be worth going over again.
Yeah.
Okay. Would either one of you want to head that up to kind of like keep us motivated?
I could do that.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea, Pat. I guess Doug will head that up, and we're all on board in trying to review that. I would say I would think it would be an annual review of this thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. And Doug, I very much appreciated that you volunteered to do that. What I would suggest is that we keep that as a discussion item each month for the next 3 months and update ourselves monthly during that time with any reviews, things that need to be revised, changed, deleted, added, and that at the end of 3 months, which would be end of August, that we have revisions consolidated that we can review, vote on, and amend the policies and procedures manual as needed.
Okay, is that...
That's not a motion.
Okay. Right. Okay, that's ongoing topic on the agenda.
That it be an ongoing item on the agenda for the next 3 months.
Okay. Yep. And then you said you had another item you wanted to talk about.
I do. And this was also a follow-up from last month's minutes. And this was brought up by Doug as well as other board members, which was the a review of Vision 2030. I've spoken with Chief Reefer and given him a little heads up. And he's agreed that next month he will address that directly as an agenda item.
Okay.
And do a Vision 2030, its applicability or not, its validity as a tool moving forward or not, and then yearly goals and objectives that he has. So I'm recommending that item be included on next month's meeting agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can do that. And then I would also like to add, maybe our board, some of our objectives and goals, you know, might want to be on there as well that we can discuss.
I'm making a note of that, Chairman Al.
Okay. So we can see what we want to get done here. Is that it then, Pat?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, public comments.
I have a question for Pat.
Sure.
How'd you fit into that little box there, Pat?
The speaker's working out very good, Pat. Very good.
I think it's good from this end. I'm getting zero background noise.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good, because I've been coughing and sneezing a lot.
I've been squeaking your chair just for fun.
Okay, the public comment is taken by the board following completion of the district business prior to adjournment. Please step up to the podium, be recognized by the chair, state your name for the record, maximum of 2 minutes per commentator to the board. Comments should be specific to the agenda items. Comments do not require a response from the board. Questions for the board or fire chief, Chris Reefer, can be addressed prior to or after the meeting with the chief at fire station during regular business hours or by appointment. Board members may be contacted in person via Tamarin Valley Fire Rescue email or by phone or text. During the chief's presentation, the chief may elect to respond to relevant questions and comments at his discretion. Please hold all other comments for the public comment period. Okay? Anybody wish to step up to the podium and make public comments?
Kurt Shelley. I just want to thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Kurt. You're welcome. Okay,
sure.
Matt?
I forgot that there was a meeting tonight. I went right out of line. I knew I needed to get water tomorrow, so I got it.
Okay, well, going once, going twice. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? If there's no other... Well, we want to talk about what we want on the agenda next month. We listed three items. Mm-hmm. And there was something else I was thinking about, but I lost my thought on it. Sorry.
I'm sure you'll remember.
Pardon me?
I'm sure you'll remember.
Yeah, I'll remember tomorrow.
And then email it?
Yeah, we can work that out. Okay, I have a motion to adjourn.
Olivia Anderson, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Can I second? Go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And what time?
Aye.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you. If you guys have neighbors, and you want to take a picture of
them, Pat, I'll take a picture of the whiteboard for you.
Okay, if you have neighbors, you can't get them home.
No.
And now you're dead.